This
is Mythical.
Hey, everybody, this is Charles Neal from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, son?
Hey, Dad, I'm doing good. It's always good to reconnect with you. So what's new down there in Myrtle Beach?
Well, it's been...
Any snow?
Ain't had no snow yet, but it's got cold down here. I had to cover my string beans up in the backyard. So I'm still trying to grow some so the frost wouldn't kill them so we could pick some more. So it got down to like 32 and 33 at night. And if it's 32 at the beach, it's cold.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much freezing.
Yeah.
From a technical perspective.
Yeah. Well, I got a little something to talk to you about. I said, we're not going to do new holler out stories today. You kind of in trouble.
Really? Is this a joke or?
I got an email with the subject line, "You should set your son straight."
Oh.
It said, "Could you please correct your son about South Carolina?"
Okay.
In a recent episode of GM Moore, he said there are no cities in South Carolina, no local governments,
right,
and no mayors.
Nope. It's a fun fact. It's typically kind of fact that Rhett would present. I don't know how it came out of my lips, but because it seems like something he would have said, but it is true, and I did say it. Yeah, there's no like local municipalities. Like everybody just kind of fends for themselves. There's like, it's medieval down there where you are.
No, it ain't.
Right?
No.
There's no mayors. There's no...
North Myrtle Beach has got a mayor. We got city councilman. We just went not long ago voted
But it's like cosplay though, right?
For what?
It's cosplay.
No.
It's like, they're pretending to do government down there.
No, we don't...
It's like,
no.
South Carolinians can't be governed.
Hey, we get governed down here. Sometimes I don't like how they govern me, but they do govern down here, and you better sure remember and believe that they make laws down here just like they do in California, where you live. Where
so now we're getting into it.
One of our Myrtle Beasts sent this in and wanted to make sure that you knew that we do have.
No.
Government down here.
You're going to have to prove it. Do you personally know anyone in government in the state of South Carolina? Have you ever met anyone who their full-time job is working in government?
I have met the mayor before, yes.
Mayor of what?
North Myrtle Beach.
Of the Shag Club?
No.
North Myrtle Beach what?
The city of North Myrtle Beach.
Okay, what's this person's name?
It just slipped away from me. It'll come.
Oh, how convenient, Dad. How convenient. I met a person who doesn't have a name. What does this mayor look like?
She's a nice-looking, blonde-headed woman.
Okay, well, that's very superficial, Dad. A nice-looking blonde woman. What?
She does a good job for Myrtle Beach.
You don't describe politicians that way.
You don't.
A nice looking blonde.
Why not? I mean, she's a southern girl that lives down here. So I mean.
Okay. So it's a blonde woman who's very well put together. That's what I hear you saying.
She does a good job of what she does and the city councilman.
Yeah, but does she get paid to do it though?
Yes.
I mean, is it a volunteer type thing?
No, she gets paid.
Okay. All right. I'm backing out. But yes, I stand by the fact that I have said on record many times that I've referred to South Carolina as the underbelly of North Carolina. Like, I've always looked down on it, and my mind is ready to be changed. I can't say that anything that you've produced so far
is going to do it.
Dispatches of Myrtle Beach has changed my mind.
Well,
not yet.
I'll work on it some more, and then I'll see if I can't get some more credibility for
you. Converted. You converted, man. You were total North Carolina, born and raised.
That's right.
So have you defected to the underbelly? Are you allegiant to the South Carolina?
Yes, I am a South Carolina resident.
The roads don't have The roads don't have lines.
The roads don't have lines.
The roads don't have, like, you know how on the edge is like a white line and in the middle there's like yellow lines? You don't have that in South Carolina.
Yes, they do.
They're all like golf cart paths.
Oh my God. Hey, we got lines on the road.
All the houses are made of shiplap.
No, it's not. I don't know of a house down here that's made out of shiplap on the inside.
Well,
I know of one in North Carolina that has a lot of shiplap in it.
One.
But I'm not calling, yeah.
I'll back down again. I'm setting you up to be the champion of South Carolina. I'm like I'm what they call the heel, Dad, you know, in wrestling.
Like a tar heel?
I'm a tar heel. I'm the guy this is the only way I'll be a tar heel, is to be the one hated for his views on South Carolina, like looking down on South Carolina. It is below.
It is below.
We can leave it at that, you know? It's just a little foil. You know, it's just a little foil for entertainment.
All right.
But I mean every word of it.
It's time for our first edition of Link. Is this TMI? I got something I wanted to talk to you about and tell you about. I went to the doctor I went for a physical about 3 months ago. And I had come back and my test, where you get your blood drawn, get all your tests done and all that thing. And
yeah,
my prostate level was kind of high.
Okay.
So they wanted me to go see a prostate doctor, and I'd already seen one here when I had that kidney stone. So I made an appointment to go see him, and I didn't see Dr. Ganji. I saw the PA that day, and we liked him. Nelson's his name, and he come in, and he said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to set you up a time to come in, and we're going to do a test on you where they have to run a tube up your butt and go up to your prostate. And he says, and we're going to take 12 specimens off of your prostate.
They go up your butt? I guess. Okay.
Yeah. And so he said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. He said, when you have this done, every time they take one of them samples out, it's like getting kicked by a mule.
What?
And I thought to myself, all right, I got to come and have this done. I said, why in the world would you tell somebody 2 or 3 weeks before you're going to have it, when you got to worry about this and you're going to go have it done, whether or not you got something wrong with you or not, and they're going to take 12 specimens out of it, and every time they do it, it's like you're going to get kicked by a mule.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you might have cancer, and the only way we get to find out is you're going to get kicked by a mule 12 times.
I'm telling you.
It's basically the scenario.
So,
well, hold on. Okay, so when are you going in for this?
I've already been in and got.
Oh, you didn't. So you haven't told me about this.
No, not anything about it. I just found out Wednesday.
Do you know the result? Can you just tell me the results first, so that if this is supposed to be a fun story, I can't figure that out because I'm trying to sit here and decide if you have cancer.
Well, the results were when I went in to see Dr. Ganji, and he pulled the sheet out, and where they took all those 12 samples out, every one of them was negative. I didn't have no cancer.
Okay, great.
Everything was good.
Okay, so you have me concerned a little bit, but now I can move on from the concern, and also you've told me that they did take the 12 samples. So now, is this a fun fairy tale of you getting kicked by a mule 12 times?
Well,
because I'm ready for this.
When they came in and I told Dr. Ganji, I said, I've heard this hurts, right, Smart? He said, no, we got a new procedure now. We're going to run up. We're going to take a needle and go up there and deaden you, you know, like Novocaine or something, and where it won't hurt as bad. And I mean.
So you walked in looking for the mule?
I walked in looking for the mule and didn't get much of a mule, which was a good thing.
Yeah. What if you walked in there and there literally was a mule in there? Like just backed up.
I might would have just backed on out the door and went to another doctor somewhere.
So keep going. What was it like?
He would tell me after they gave me the stuff to deaden the prostate and stuff, he'd say, all right, I'm gonna get another sample. And every time
hold on. Hold on. What position are you in here? Are you standing? Are you bent over like you're going to get a paddling?
No, I'm laying down on my side.
Are you in child's pose? With your knees underneath you?
Yeah, with one knee's pulled up and the other one pulled up on top of it on the other side. I was on my side.
You were in the fetal position.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I couldn't, they didn't have nothing where I could see what was going on or nothing.
You didn't have a rear view mirror?
No, so.
Was there a cheek spreader?
No. If they did it themselves. I mean.
With their hands?
Every time he'd get ready to take a sample, he'd say, "All right, Charles, I'm taking a sample." And you'd hear something say, snap, a click, something. It clicked.
Ooh.
And I thought, that ain't too bad. It didn't hurt too bad. It won't, you know, it was, I've had a lot of things hurt a lot worse. And then, so this went on for 12 times. He said, "All right, I'm going to take another sample." Click. All right. And he'd wait a minute and he said, "I'm going to take another sample." Click. And he did this 12 times.
Oh, Dad.
And I thought, well, I'll be glad when this is over with.
Now, when they don't have to go that deep for the prostate, because you can reach the prostate with your finger.
Yeah.
And that can be a good thing.
He did the exam on me with his finger when he was checking. He said, "I really don't think there's nothing wrong with you," he said, "because your prostate and all that stuff is smooth." He said, "It's smooth." I said, "Okay, I reckon that's a good thing."
Did he ask for your number?
No, he didn't ask for my
did
number.
Did you want his?
No, I didn't want his either.
It's like, oh, I mean, hey, the only way to tell if it's smooth is by rubbing it. And I've been told that if you rub the prostate, that it could lead to some good things.
I don't know, but this Nelson guy's pretty neat guys, because when I went back in, he remembered that I was doing a dispatches for Myrtle Beach, and he said, "Tell me again the name of your show. I want to listen to it." And I told it to him.
Let's give him a holler out. Holler out to you, Nelson. You put your finger in my dad's butt, and you rubbed his prostate and found it to be very smooth.
Very smooth. That's right.
Nelson, pretty neat guy from what I've heard. But the story doesn't end there, does it?
No, but I don't know if I can talk about the rest of it, because I've been told I can't talk about the rest of it.
That means it's the best part of the story.
Yeah.
You know, we can always cut it out later. You know, I can help you decide if it needs to stay in the episode by hearing it.
Well, the only other thing that Dr. Ganji told me, he said, "Now, when you go home, you have to ejaculate 2 or 3 times, because you're going to have blood in your semen and coming out of where your prostate's at."
Really?
The first time it bleeds pretty good. It pours out pretty good. But it don't hurt. So, I mean, you just have to keep doing that till you get all that blood out of you.
So it just feels like a normal
ejaculation.
Jizz?
Yeah.
But it's blood?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you got to do it 3 times?
Three or four. To get it before it's clear again.
So what? Clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you take into account like the refractory period, I mean, you might be talking like an 8 to 24 hour period before you've cleaned it out.
Took about 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, you're spacing them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah. You know, there's a right time for everything.
That's right.
Man, you know what? I'm glad you told that part, because I think that's part of it. People get your prostate zinged, and then you gotta know how to deal with the aftermath. These are the type of things that fathers and sons need to be talking more about, Dad. I'm glad you shared this with me, because now I know. If I have to go in for some sort of prostate thing, I'm going to remember this, and I'm going to feel better about it. Somebody's going to tell me about the mule, and I would be like, bullshit.
That's right.
Did they put you in like a twilight? For a colonoscopy, I had a colonoscopy, and they put me in a twilight. But they didn't do that for this because I guess it's a lot shallower or something?
I didn't want to get put to sleep. I've been put to sleep enough. So, of course, I think I got to go back just once a year. And
pretty neat Nelson's going to
gonna
give it another whoop. Check your oil again.
Check my oil again. Yeah.
You know, I think you could just go to Jiffy Lube, you know. They should add that. That, Dad, that's, come on now, think about this. This is a pretty good idea. Jiffy Lube, you get your oil changed. What are you doing? You're just sitting there waiting for them. I know it's quick. I know it happens in a jiffy. I believe the marketing, but you're just sitting there. Why can't they have a proctologist give everybody a rectal exam at the same time? Check your oil and check your oil. You know what I'm saying?
Get a double oil
two
check.
Two for one.
Yeah.
Two for one.
We're going to have a doctor's office and a Jiffy Lube together.
You said it yourself. Nelson's not a doctor. He's just a PA.
Well, some PAs is just as good as doctors.
Yeah, but I think they'd be willing to work out of a Jiffy Lube if the price was right.
Oh, dear, wouldn't they? They might be. I'll ask Nelson that if he wants to start a business and start working at a Jiffy Lube doing a prostate thing.
I'll invest in that. Oil checkers.
Oh, yeah. I don't want nothing to do with it. Fine.
It's your loss, Dad.
I'm just saying I don't want to do with anything checking nobody. I'm not going to be the one back there watching what's going on.
You can do the automotive part.
Yeah, I can do that, and you can do the tail part.
No, Nelson. No, Nelson. I'm marketing. I'm just, okay. I use my mouth. Well, hold on. That didn't sound right. I'm not going to use my mouth. Nelson's going to use his finger, and I'm going to talk about it.
That's
Nelson,
right.
You're in on this. Well, Nelson did not know what he signed up for.
Well, I got some emails we're going to run through. It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. I got an email from Ewan Watson. He says, a nun is taking a bath. She hears a knock at the door. She asks, who is it? And the voice outside responds, I'm the blind guy. The nun thinks for a moment and then decides to get out of the bath and let him in. The man enters and says, nice breath. Now, where do you want these blinds?
See, now we're getting religious. We got political. That's a good one. I thought
that was pretty good.
Nice breasts. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too, Dad. I don't have anything else to say about it.
All right. Okay, our second email then is from Sandra and Dusty. He said, what did the cannibal do after he dumped his girlfriend?
What did the cannibal do after he dumped his girlfriend? See, you'd be tempted to think that he ate his girlfriend, which sends me down two different paths. I don't know, Dad. What did the cannibal do when he dumped his girlfriend?
He wiped his butt.
Oh, gross. God. I wonder what Nelson would think of that. He'd probably be more comfortable with it. It's just another day at the office for Nelson.
I got another email from Austin Carr. The email subject line says, premature painting produces persistent primer problem.
Okay.
This guy's just asking for some advice, just to let you know. I recently moved into an apartment where I received the landlord special. They didn't prime the walls before painting, so now paint is flecking off the walls and onto the furniture. Is there a way to right their wrongs?
Hmm.
Well, there's a way to right the wrongs, but it sounds like if it's the walls and not the trim work, it sounds like it had semi-gloss paint on the walls, and they didn't sand the walls in it before you moved in and painted over them. It didn't have a way for the paint to adhere and stick to the walls, so it's peeling off. Now, if it's not the walls and it's the trim work, it's probably because the trim work had oil-based paint on it, and they painted it with latex paint, and it don't take it long, and it'll just peel off in sheets and just fall off. So either one of them, I don't know.
Either way, you got to start over.
You got to start over, and you got to get some primer and sand the walls, and you got to prime them again, and then you can paint them, and it'll fix them. And you may have to do some sheetrock mud and put some on it, because these, when these prices peel off and done, it leaves a rough texture. So you may have to put some sheetrock mud on it and sand it and get it smoothed back out, and then and put some more primer on it then too. So, because when you put the sheetrock mud on there, you got to prime it too. So,
good God.
Hey, it's going to be an ordeal fixing what you got. You might ought to find you another apartment.
Exactly. This is the landlord's problem. Man, this is complicated, but not sexual in any way.
Nope.
Except for people who are really turned on by like detailed paint problem solving. And I'm sure that is, you know, a kink. So, in an effort to keep everything a little bit sexual around here, I've now done my part. And you've done yours, Dad, you know, by just answering the question.
Well, I tried to help him. Yeah. Answer
Yeah, you
question.
Tried to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in for it. Move on. Or get that landlord a working.
That's what I'd be doing. I'd be calling the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got another email from Morgan King.
Okay.
It says, my fiance and I have been religiously listening to dispatches from Myrtle Beach since the debut.
The what?
Whatever.
No, the what?
Debut. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're your number one fan at this point, so I figured you'd be the best person to help us out with the situation.
Okay.
We're having a baby girl in December, and we have no idea what to name her. Hoping you could take a hack at it.
Great idea.
Well,
now whatever you say, I think they're obligated to take it. So I don't even want you to tell them without the disclaimer that they have to accept it. Like, this is the child's name.
Well, I come up with more than one name. I don't want them just to have one to pick from. You didn't pick.
So you're giving them options.
But I'm giving them some options and everything. But and I know it's a girl, but the first name I came up with was Chance.
Dad, didn't you have a dog named Chance? You naming a kid after your dog?
I like the name Chance. I thought about
it. You don't even remember the dog yet?
Naming one of them, Lorna Witt. That Chance, and it didn't fly with that, so it might not fly with this, but I like that name.
What was that chow that you had, the chow that bit you?
It might have been Chance. I don't know. That's been a long time ago.
I think it was Chance, but okay. So that's an option. Dad loves that name.
But and then I put Morning. I thought, you know, if you name a kid Morning, you say, good morning. Yeah. Be something
that'll
different.
Be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun for them. That's a good option.
And then I put Misty, because it kind of went with something with mythical with your show and stuff. So I thought.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A little branding tie
in here. Yeah. Right there.
Misty.
Yeah. Misty. And then Isabella. And these are some old names like when I was growing up that I used. And Sophia, and then the last one, because the baby was going to be born in December, I said, just name the baby December. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Santa. No. Can we add Santa to the list?
No, let's not name that little girl Santa.
Come on, man. Can't I contribute anything?
Yeah, okay. All right, Morgan.
Santa.
You can add Santa to the list.
I mean, if you want to be in good with Santa, there's no better way than to name your kid Santa.
I'm telling
you. That's just all I'm saying. So, Sophia, Isabella. Isabella, I like that because Izzy is a fun nickname. Chance. Wow. Okay, these are your options. You have to choose from these options. And Santa is on the list.
Okay, yeah.
If you had to choose one, Dad, if you were choosing for them, like, what are you putting at the top of the list?
Well, I like Isabella.
Okay. I like Izzy. I think that would be good. What went into naming me? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
It went hard because I knew you were going to be if we had a boy, I knew you was going to be Charles Lincoln Neal III. They weren't going to be no... I didn't have to think about no other names. I said I was going to...
Because you were always Junior.
That's right.
Like, you went by Junior before I was born. At some point, I was tempted to think that you became Junior once you named me the third. But that's not true, right?
No, but my birth certificate got Charles Lincoln Neal Jr. on it. Yeah, because Daddy's name's Charles Lincoln Neal.
So, even before you and Mom had me, you were already thinking, like, was it even before, like, you were married? Before you were thinking about, like, when you just thought about having kids, you just assumed, like, well, I'm a junior, so if I have a son, I'd like for him to be the third. Like, was that kind of the narrative all along?
That was my thinking. Who I was married to, if we had a son, I'd want him named Charles Lincoln Neal III.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. You know, I always thought, I really like my name. You know, I always went by Link. You know, you always went by Charles. And then Papa always went by Lincoln. So I was like, it was kind of an easy decision for me. I was always fond of it and the lineage. And I don't know, I just like what it represented. And I like how it felt. And I liked it practically too. So like all the boxes were checked. So it seemed like a special thing to carry on. And it just worked. So it's like if I had a son, which I didn't, we had a daughter. And then we're like, well, let's keep going. So when we had Lincoln, we knew that he was going to be the fourth. And I liked the fact that like there's not a lot of fourths out there these days. So I thought that was special. And that we would then continue the cycle and that he would be called Lincoln. So now, will it continue? ...
When we were at the wedding, Lincoln was talking to Lando or something, and he brought up, he said, have you ever seen seen the picture of where you and I and Daddy and him, Lincoln, was in it, in the bean field? They were talking about
all four generations, yeah.
All the same name and a picture with everybody.
Yeah, that's a special picture.
So I thought that was pretty special that he thought enough of it that it was special too. I thought that was pretty neat. Him at 16, that he thought that was special too.
17.
But 7, yeah, okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I got another email from Jake Lyscars. This is an anecdote, not a joke. He said, pronunciation is like masturbation. It feels good in the moment, but in the end, you're only screwing yourself.
It was still funny, but the first word, I did not understand.
Procrastination.
Oh, procrastination is like masturbation.
Yeah.
It feels good, but what?
But in the end, you're only screwing yourself.
Well, it depends on, in the end, it depends on how you do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll have to ask Nelson.
We've been talking about a lot of stuff this weekend. I hope some of it people learned and about your prostate and everything. But we're going to swing into something else next week. And I hope all our Myrtle Beasts keep listening and seeing what's going on with us and just having a good time and see if we can keep enjoying what we're doing. So
share it with your friends. You're listening. You're enjoying this. Your family members, people who you think, people with prostates, people without prostates, people who had prostates that no longer have prostates, people who have growing or shrinking prostates. No matter what prostate state you're in, you're invited, and you should invite people who you care about to become Shagga listeners
with our Myrtle Beast.
That's right. That's right.
Tell them about us. And my email is ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. And I hope to see you soon, son. And we'll probably see you in about another week. So
definitely. You can count on it.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you too.
And this episode shrinks into memory just like my dad's prostate.